I got some help today, and thank you guys. Come help me. Okay, so, hey, when my kids were your age, this is our favorite Christmas decoration. And what we would do every Christmas, even when they, now they're all grown, okay, so they're not your age anymore. But we would have this right by our tree, and this was the first present that we would open. And we did this, we still do it. And what do you think that is? You know? You don't know? Well, let's open it. Can y'all open it and see what it is? So, see if y'all can open it. The top just comes off. All right. Look at that. Now you can take it out. Okay. And, okay, so this is, good job. Good modeling there. There was a lady named Vanna White one day. You may take her job. Is she still alive? I'm not sure. Okay, it goes right there. And so this, you know what it's, what it means is we would tell our kids that the greatest gift at Christmas is Jesus. And he was born, and we would start our whole Christmas thing before we would open any presents. We would open this first, and we would tell our kids, we want to remember the reason we give gifts is because Jesus first gave to us. And so that's what we're talking about today. Hey, thanks. Thanks for helping me. That was easy, wasn't it? All right, give him a hand. Give him a hand for helping me today. You know what? Christmas time, we've been unwrapping Advent. Advent means coming. And we've been unwrapping what it means, the gift that Christ brings to the world. And we every week, we've kind of been processing this. And we talked about how Christ brings hope. That's a gift that he brings, and hope to the hopeless. And when I think about the hope that he brings, it's a hope in the scripture describes a reality. Not like what we, most of us here, at least me and those that are like me, we hoped that OU would have beaten Alabama on Friday, but they didn't. Now, hope in scripture is different than that. That was a hope that wasn't realized. When the Bible speaks of hope, it's describing a certainty. And Advent means the coming of Christ that reveals a hope that is certain. And these prophets spoke of a Messiah coming, and then certainly he came. Now, Advent speaks of, for us in 2025, looking back on the first coming of Christ, Advent reveals a second coming. And we should expect a certain second coming. There's hope to the hopeless. Because without Christ coming into the world, we would be hopeless. Advent means speaks to hope. It also speaks to peace. We looked at this, peace to the restless. Human beings are naturally restless because we have trouble in the world. Jesus said, John 16:33, I've told you these things, Jesus said, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart because I've overcome the world. And so Advent speaks to the peace that came to the world. Despite the trouble, despite the challenges, peace to the restless, despite the human, the common human tendency to be restless with what we have, restless of where we are. And Christ came bringing peace. We looked last week at joy that Christ brings. Despite the troubles that the world brings, and he brings peace, but he also brings joy. Now, joy is something that is deep. It's deeper than just an emotion. It's we processed last week how, you know, joy and sorrow can exist. Like, I look at our church right now. This Christmas, there are a lot of empty seats at the table that we didn't expect. But the truth is, God brings joy to those who are suffering. Joy to the peace, joy to the suffering. And this is a deeper thing, a deeper gift from God. And that's why these are gifts at Advent. These are gifts at Christmas. The coming of Christ brings hope, brings peace, brings joy. And today, we're going to look at how Christ brings love. This is something that God speaks, God shows us at his coming. The advent of Christ communicates this truth that God brings love to you. Now, we're going to turn to one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 3, John 3, 16, a verse you likely know. I can remember as a kid watching the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday, and there was that guy with the rainbow hair. Remember him? How many of you remember the guy with the rainbow hair? How many of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm sorry, you missed that. It was this guy, he's probably in heaven right now because I hadn't seen him in years, but he would have rainbow hair, the camera would always find him, and he'd hold up a sign that said John 3:16. I remember that guy. This is the most famous verse in all of Scripture, and here's what we're going to do. I want us to really grasp this gift that Christ brings, love. And so we're going to stand together and read this together, but we're also going to sing something together. So would you stand where you are? Now, I don't want you to get nervous about this song we're going to sing. I realize I'm more of a rapper than a singer. But I did marry into the Baptist Von Trapp family. If you know my family, we sing a lot. But believe me, you know this song, so don't fret. But I need you to help me because of my rapping tendencies. But let's look at John 3:16, and let's just read this out loud together. And as we read and as we sing, I want you to just recognize this gift that Christ brings at Christmas, that God loves you. Let's read this together. You ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I'm sorry, I was going up by memory. Good job. Now let's sing this song that my mom used to sing to me, that I sang to my kids, that my kids sing and are going to sing to their kids. Jesus loves me. Ready? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, as we unwrap this gift at Christmas, keep your Bibles open to John 3:16 And Advent love is something that God shows us. And we're going to follow that pattern that we've been all Christmas season with three words that I pray that we can remember that helps us understand this Advent love. And when you really look at what God's word reveals, Advent love is a revelation. I want you to say that word with me. You ready? Revelation. Look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's important that we understand this gift at Christmas. The love of God is not just information, it's a revelation. One of the things, we had one of our family Christmases yesterday, and I love what my father-in-law has taught us in our family, because we sit around the table and we make the most of the moment. And how he does this is he will always say, this happens, now it's just habit and practice, it's just part of our family gatherings, he will say, all right, here's the question for the day. It's incredibly meaningful. I would encourage you to consider this in your around your tables. But he's like, question for the day, and we had a couple yesterday, but everybody has to answer. You go around the circle. You can't get out of it. But he said yesterday, what's your favorite thing about Christmas? Everybody was answering. And my son, he said something really insightful. He said, music. That's my favorite thing about Christmas. Now, that's not just the right, that's like Jesus at church in our family. The answer is Jesus. I mean, music is a part of our family. But he said, music is really my favorite thing. And he said, you know, there's three types of music that you hear at Christmas. There's the jolly kind, you know, Santa and jingle bells and all the jolly kind of music. He goes, then there's some creepy music, like Santa Baby. That's a little creepy, you know. And I thought, and when you really think of the words, it's kind of creepy, but we're not going to break that down today. But then he said, there's those, I'm going to call it, revelation music. Eric was walking through the mall this week, and he goes, it was fascinating. I walked through the mall, and in the mall, over the loudspeakers, they were playing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And on the loudspeaker in the mall, it was totally okay and normal that this secular mall that really is not trying to point people to Jesus, but here they are playing this song. You know what the second verse of that song says? Christ, the highest heaven adored. Christ, the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come. Offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail, the incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. He was walking through the mall, and that was ringing through the loudspeakers of the mall. I'll be honest with you. At any other time of the year, if you put a loudspeaker in the mall and started making those claims that, hey, Jesus came in the flesh, God is incarnate, that hail the Lord, King of Kings, they would probably escort you out of the mall. But at Christmas time, it's normal. Even in non-church settings, to hear this music. I want to challenge you. Let's pay attention as we're out places. And try to listen to the background music. But not just hear it. Listen to it. Because you know what the Advent proclaims? Christ, the Lord, came into the world. That's a big deal. That's a deal. That's something the world, even a secular world, acknowledges whether they know it or not. And let's just stop and marvel for just a second that these truths are echoing in public places all over the world. It shows the impact of, it shows that the coming of Christ is not just information, it's a revelation. That despite the world trying to mask and throw up some smokes and mirrors, the message of Christ continues to come through. The revelation of God continues to speak to the world. Now, when you think about the importance of this as a revelation, John 3:16. The reason it's such important news, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Let's consider the revelation of this. Death isn't the end. Death will not be the end for anybody that we've known that has died, nor will it be the end for you. Death is simply the door to eternal life. God speaks to this. In our Bible reading, we've been reading through, we're at the New Testament now, and we're tracking through the New Testament. We read 2 Corinthians recently, just a few weeks, about maybe a week ago. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8. You ought to write this verse down. I'll read it to you, but this is an incredible passage. In verse 6, 2 Corinthians 5, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. This is another one of those places that God opens the window and says, hey, when we are absent from this body as a Christian, we are at home with the Lord. Now, that's fascinating to consider. We know what it's like to get home after a long trip, and you fall on your bed and you're like, ah, I'm home. That's the gift of eternal life. You realize that when this life is over, the Bible tells us that we will be at home with the Lord. That's an important revelation. The Bible tells us, Hebrews 9, we read it just a few days ago. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28, just as it is appointed for a man to die once, and after that comes judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting him. You know, eternal life is a revelation, an important revelation of God. That death isn't the end, it's the door to eternal life. And when you die, when you stand before God, everyone will. It's appointed for a man once to die, and then you're going to stand before the Lord. And you know what? That's going to be the moment that you see holiness for the first time. We hear the word holy, but we don't understand the word holy. We've experienced, God said he's made me holy when he forgave me. We saw the baptism today, and what a great story of your baptism. And that was when God made you holy, but it's hard for us to grab a hold of because we've never seen it with these eyes. And one day we're going to see holiness, and we're going to be like, whoa, that the greatest miracle of all eternity will come into view. You know what that is, right? 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5 is an important chapter. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we could be the righteousness of God. And I think when we see God in his holiness, we're going to be like, oh my goodness, God left heaven and came to earth. Now that in and of itself, when we get to heaven, it's going to be better than we think. And we will not want to leave there. And Jesus left there to come here, humbled himself, and died on the cross for us. That's a revelation of God. Now, let's consider revelation. Say that with me again. You ready? Revelation. One more time. Revelation. But do you know the coming of Christ, the love of Christ at Advent, is not just a revelation. Let's not miss this. It's also a demonstration. I want you to say that with me. Ready? Demonstration. The love of Christ is a demonstration. John wrote John 3:16, the apostle John. He was an unschooled, ordinary man, according to Acts 4:13. And he wrote 1 John as well. Look, and this is going to be on the screen, but 1 John chapter 4, Christian referred to it just a little bit ago. And I want us to recognize that Advent love is a demonstration of, and it says this, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. And let's just look at it for a minute. This is the love of God, it says, 1 John 4. This is the love of God. It was made manifest among us. It was manifested. It was visibly in front of us. God became a man. That is a huge demonstration of God's love for you, that he would leave heaven and come to earth. And I promise you, the Bible opens the window of heaven often and lets us look in. But when we get to heaven, we will not want to come back here. We will want to stay at home with the Lord. But let's not miss this. The love of God was made manifest, look, among us. We got to see it. It happened among us that God sent his only Son into the world. That's a huge demonstration of God's love for you, that God would come into this world to be like us, according to Philippians 2, to humble himself and experience sin. But he took on our sin for us. He was the God-man, and he entered the world so that we might live through him. That when you come to Christ, the love of Christ allows us to live. Not only in this world, I'll be honest with you, when you come to Christ, that's when you really start to live. That's when you really start to know what peace is, what hope is, what joy is, what love is. And see, the coming of Christ, the demonstration of Christ allows us to live, but we not only live in this world, and that's where it begins, but it's certain to open up eternal life for us, where we will live in heaven for eternity. And this is a demonstration of God's love, and he very clearly entered the world to demonstrate his love for you. And look at verse 10. In this is love, 1 John 4. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Now, we looked at that, this demonstration of God. God demonstrates his love. Romans 5:8 says this, and I love the grammar here of Romans 5:8, that God demonstrates his love. I mean, it says right here that in this is love, that he loved us and sent his Son into the world to be the propitiation for our sins. We looked at this, the presence of Christ in the world is a demonstration of his love for you. He demonstrates his love for you in this, Romans 5:8, that Christ died for you. I love the grammar because he's constantly demonstrating to you that he loves you as we look back at when he died for you and propitiation comes to us. And now that's that complex. And 2 weeks ago when we were here, if you were with us, we talked about propitiation, which means favor. That's this deep theological demonstration of God going to the cross. And when you experience salvation, like we saw, not the moment of salvation, we saw the results when the baptism took place. That was a picture for us of Christ saving a soul. Now that moment didn't save them. It was when Christ came into your life, my life, that propitiation happens. You supernaturally moved from punishment to favor. That's what propitiation means. And look at what it says. God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What that means is that God took your place. God loves you so much that he demonstrated this love for you by taking your place. Jesus absorbed the full wrath of God for your sin and for mine. And you know what? He took the condemnation on himself. You know why? Because he was demonstrating that he loves you. Oh, how he loves you. We just sang that. Oh, how he loves you. See, Advent reveals a revelation. It reveals a demonstration. And you know what it produces? Here's the third word today. A transformation. So say that with me. You ready? Transformation. That's something I want in our hearts today. Because if we're going to understand the love of God, we can't help but recognize the transformation that takes place. And though there's a lost world that's walking through life like they walk through the mall, and they hear it, but they don't listen. You know what I pray for us? That everyone in this room, everyone watching online today, that we not only hear, but we listen. We listen. There's a difference, right? Between hearing and listening. Advent reveals this revelation of God that he loves you. It is this demonstration that God loves you. And you know what it produces? A transformation. 1 John 4:11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." You see, when Christ's transformation takes place, it moves you to change. It, so much so that you start loving other people. You start showing that love to other people. And let's go back to John 3:16 and let's just recognize the transformation that comes. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Now let's just let this stand in front of us. For God. God. There's a master of this whole place. There's a king of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He's the one who spoke with his mouth, "Let there be light," and light appeared. He's the one that overshadows the darkness instantaneously. He's the one that every demon, every evil force, they shudder and they fear. Because God is the king, and all eternity knows it. And you know what? Sometimes many human beings don't acknowledge it, but there will be a day that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he's the Lord. For God so loved. Let me tell you something about his love. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. God loves you. And he knows you. God knows you. And at first we go, "Oh, that's great, God knows me." And then we go, "Oh, God knows me. He knows all the things that I don't want you to know about me. He knows all the things that I'm ashamed of. And yet, he loves me." God so loved, look, the world. Whoa. I remember when Robin and I were in New York City. Have you ever been to Times Square in New York City? It's like a lock-in 24/7. It's like nonstop. And we were walking through Times Square. And we were just in the sea of humanity. As we're walking through these crowds walking by us, we were just talking about, wow, God knows every one of these people so well that according to Psalm 139, he carefully knit them together in their mother's womb. He knows them so well that all their days were written in a book before one of them came to be. Let's not miss, God so loved the world that he gave. Oh my goodness, he gave. You see, the gift at Christmas is Christ. God gave himself for you. And you can't earn it. You didn't deserve it. God gave. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Let's think about this. What has God brought to you? It's a relationship. His only son, you and I, can have a relationship with God. you know, this is John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you sent. Can I tell you something? That God gave his son for you, that you can know him, not just know about him, but know him and walk with him, experience him, trust him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And look at this, that whoever, that's you. See, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, you can receive this gift of eternal life. That's the revelation of God's love. Whoever believes, notice this. He made it so simple. We have often think, oh, surely I gotta do something. Surely I gotta earn my way. Surely I gotta work for this. But you know where salvation comes? For Ephesians 2:8, 9, for it's by grace you're saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It's not by works, so that no one can boast. You see, salvation is not a prize to be won. It's a gift to be received. And that's why at Christmas we got to know the love of God and really listen, because salvation is when you believe in him. And let's not miss that you believe in Jesus. And I know that we live in a world that you hear those atheists say, well, what about all those that never hear? I'll be honest with you. If you've traveled any around the world, do you know what you see? I've been to Europe and Eastern Europe, and I see statues about Jesus. I've been to Mexico in the mummy part of Guanajuato, Mexico, and you know, in these kind of the tribes of these native Mexican tribes. And yet there's evidence of Christ everywhere, all over the world. And you know what? God has made himself known to the world. And if we just look up and listen, oh my goodness, God's love is clearly revealed, demonstrated, and it gives you an opportunity for transformation. You know why? God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. I want you to know this is huge. You know, many empty seats around our tables. But can I tell you that because of Christ, we don't perish. But, and I love that little clause, but have eternal life. Oh my goodness. You know what Christmas tells us? It speaks to, hey, there is hope for you. There is peace that can come to you. There is real joy. There is a love, and these things are not theory. It's tangible, real, and available to you. And so, you know what I pray for us as we end today? I pray that the love of Christ is evident in your home, in your house, that this Christmas that you lean into the coming of Christ to you, and that the love of Christ transforms your home. You know what I pray? The reason we're saying, hey, invite somebody to candlelight. I pray that our community recognizes that the love of Christ is tangible and available for them, and they're for our friends, for our family, those that we're around, our coworkers, our neighbors. I pray that they see the love of Christ. You know what? I pray that our church catches this. This transforming love of Christ. So my question to you, I know you hear it, but are you listening? Maybe today you need to come to Christ. I don't want you thinking, coming to church here, that you can somehow earn your way to heaven. You can't. I pray that every one of you can look back at a moment that Christ saved you. And if not, oh, can I tell you that's why we're here? I'm going to ask our staff to come down front and just be down front, Amber and Chad and Keith, if y'all can come to Andrew. And, you know, maybe you need to pray with somebody today. Susan's here. Amber's down here. Maybe you need to pray with somebody and have one of our staff pray over you. Maybe you need to be saved today. Oh, can I just plead with you? Don't go one more day without knowing what it's like to be forgiven. Maybe today, you know what? You've just been coasting, going through the motions. But here you are today. You know who brought you here? God. You might go, no, my mom did. Well, guess who? God used your mom, but God brought you here. You know what he's communicating to you? That he loves you. And maybe that's just something you needed to hear today. Maybe you need to come and just thank him. Lord, thank you for loving me, even though you know me. Thank you. You know, maybe today it's time to return to Christ. Because I got to tell you something. Life's too short. And these days are too critical for us to waste our time not walking with Jesus. And I tell you something, that the hope of Christ is real. The peace of Christ is real. The joy of Christ is real. The love of Christ is real, and it's for you. I pray you hear and you listen. Would you stand where you are? Father, as we stand today, Lord, your love is real. It's a very real revelation. It's a very real demonstration. And your love produces a transformation that I just have to say thank you. Lord, would you draw our hearts to you today? Even as Christian sings this come expected Jesus, as we sing that together and as we respond to your voice, Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as Savior or maybe someone that just needs prayer today, that you'd give them the boldness just to receive that from our staff. Maybe, Lord, for those couples that need to just come to you and come together, come back together, Lord, those that are struggling with faith and trusting in you, I pray that we would hear your love for us that is real, the hope, the peace, the joy. Father, draw our hearts today. And may this Christmas we overflow with this hope and joy and peace and love to our neighbors, our family, our friends. God, would you draw our hearts to you right now? Lord, I pray you'd move among us. In Jesus' name.